Hi guys. So, we recorded this episode back on February 16th, and a lot of things have happened in the world since then. Most notably has been an increase in awareness of some pretty terrible things happening in our country. First and foremost, we want to make it extraordinarily clear, as we did last summer, that racism is not something that we will condone, understand, forgive. This is not the country that we want to be. Being loving and accepting and bringing everyone together and seeing everyone as Americans is what this country was built on. We are not like other countries. We are not supposed to be gatekeepers. If you move here from Mexico, you are an American. If you move here from Germany, you are an American. If you move here from Korea, Japan, China, anywhere, we want you to be an American. We want you to be a part of this country. And the fact that there are people who live here who somehow still see people as other, who want to separate us, who want to point fingers and lay blame for something that they had nothing to do with, who want to carry out acts of violence against someone who has never interacted with them, never done anything to them. That is something we must speak out against loudly, impassioned. This is not the country that we love. That is not who we are. So we want to come out and say very loudly and very clearly again and again, we do not support hate. We are adamantly against any form of racism, and we stand strong, arm in arm, with our Asian American citizens and people of Asian descent in general, regardless of whether you live in this country or not, or whether you're a citizen of this country or not. You cannot believe that a pandemic is the result of a nationality. That's not fair, and it's not true. Science has proven that. So we just want to say that we feel for you, we hurt for you, we cry for you, and we will continue to loudly speak up against racism.
I agree with everything that Claire has said, and in times like this, since I am not good with words, she does speak for both of us. But to put my comments in, what we talked about last summer and this are very personal to me because I do have Asian American family members. So this isn't easy for me to see or to hear, and it hits on a personal level. But the point of this podcast is to help you all escape from the world for a little bit. So without further ado, let's get into this chapter of Fire, Whiskey, and Honey. The following content is rated explicit for language in adult situations.
So listen with headphones.
Or don't. We don't judge.
Have you ever wished that your world had more magic?
Or that your favorite character had survived?
How about a full-length spin-off of your favorite childhood series?
Then do we have a podcast for you?
Hello, Fire Whiskers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Kat.
And this is Fire Whiskey and Honey, the podcast about your favorite novel-length Potter fan fiction.
The Debt of Time.
Each episode, we read a chapter of this story.
And try to stay on topic.
Which is easier said than done.
Without further ado, here's this week's chapter of The Debt of Time.
Goeiedag, Kat.
Gesundheit.
Okay, that's German. What I said was Dutch. I'm like 99% positive it's Dutch. Let me double check. Wait. Yes, it's Dutch. And this comes from one of our wonderful listeners. So if I haven't said hello in your language yet, please go ahead and shoot me a voice recording of how to say it in your language, and I will gladly do so. Because I'm having a lot of fun with this, because I also realized like there's other languages that I haven't used yet. I think I repeated French once, but mainly, maybe not. I'm just, you know, adding episodes together because I was re-listening to an episode and we were doing the bonjour, 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 hey, da 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 da. Okay, but yeah, no, I had to practice.
Yeah, that's the one we recorded without Hannah Bess, so when she's not here, we don't have a chaperone, so we don't know how to stop.
Okay, she was in the next one, and we started with yo yo yiggity yo. So like, even when she's here, it's kind of a mess.
Yeah, but I feel like when she's here, we're more able to stay on track because mommy's watching us. But when she's not here, like, we go off the track.
Thanks, Mom.
We need a chaperone.
And that is Hannah Beth. Hannah Beth is our chaperone. She keeps us in line. So, it's season 5.
That's crazy. How did we get to season
5? I don't know. We're at season 5, guys.
Wow. You guys are listening to us. That's crazy.
Oh my God.
My ear keeps itching. Oh. Wow. We're halfway to 10. Woo!
Currently, we don't have 10 seasons. We only have 4 seasons. But the 4 seasons. But with 153 chapters, we will hit halfway at chapter 79. So we are 10 episodes away from the halfway mark. Whoo! Did I do that math right? I don't think I did that math right. Hold on. 153 okay. Divided by 2 is... Okay, no, I lied. So it's 76.5, so 77. We'll call it 77 is the halfway point. 76, 77.
77.
So less than 10 episodes to the halfway mark. Also, how the fuck was I applied to college for the first time as a math major. Why?
I don't know.
I like when there's letters in my math. When numbers enter it, I'm just a mess. But unless they're italicized numbers, and then no good friend. As soon as they hit imaginary, I'm out. Also, yeah, I okay. really probably shouldn't have majored in math. I didn't major in math. No. Anyway.
What had happened?
Also, one last thing before we get into this. Not only are we at season 5, but we are also at the end of an era. A very long, very adventurous era.
Are we breaking up?
No. Well, I am. I'm breaking up with my 20s because tomorrow I turn 30.
Yeah.
And tomorrow is also James Potter's birthday and Maya's adopted birthday. So happy birthday to them, but also death knell to my 20s. But also hello to my 30s. I'm actually kind of excited about my 30s. My sister swore up and down it was her best year. It's going to be the year I become a mom, which is super exciting. And I also, everyone who is in their 30s, every woman who is in their 30s keeps telling me, the year I hit 30 was the year I stopped giving a fuck. And I'm like, yes, I'm ready for this.
I thought that was going to be 60.
No, apparently it starts in your 30s and every decade thereafter your give a fuck meter just drops.
Well, I think I started early on that one because I think I've been that way for about a year or two. So yeah. I started early.
Cat's been a honey badger for a long time.
Yeah, about a lot of things, but especially recently. Yeah. If it doesn't spark me joy, Marie Kondo, I don't care.
Yeah, most of us were like, you know, sparking joy in our wardrobes, and Kat was like, spark joy in my life. You don't spark joy. Goodbye.
Also, I just realized because my shoulders are cold, it looks like I'm naked. I am wearing a shirt, just to let you know. And it's the one Claire got me when she was in Hawaii.
Oh, see? I totally forgot I got you a Hawaiian shirt. I'm such a good friend.
I know.
I'm really glad you clarified that because I 100% did not know if you had a shirt on or not.
I just assumed she did because it's Kat. Why would she be naked?
I mean, I did too, but also like it's...
Well, it is Mardi Gras!
See, we're recording way in advance.
We're recording way in advance. So technically today is in fact Mardi Gras.
But also, it is 50, 50 degrees warmer with Kat than it is with Peter and I. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, again, one last thing before we get into what had happened was, also, it was Shrove Tuesday. Maundy Thursday is also Holy Thursday, which comes before Black Friday. The Catholic, you know, all the things that come back to you. God, so many years since CCD. Anyway, but I was going to say something. What was it?
That it's, we're recording way in advance and it's really freaking cold.
It's, oh, really fucking cold. So we're still in the middle of the snowstorm that struck the South, which I'm sure everybody still remembers. But who knows? Everything happened so fast in 2020. It may just be speeding fast in 2021 as well. But yes, it is currently 15 degrees in Tennessee, 16 degrees, or... Yeah, 16 degrees where you are.
And snowing.
And snowing.
In Texas.
For
the second time this week, just as a fun fact.
Yep. I've got about 2 to 3 inches on the ground in Tennessee, which I've never seen since moving out here. And Kat, what's the temperature in South Florida right now?
70.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
Also,
I hate you.
We should convert all these to Celsius for our international friends. Because,
you know what? Yes, let's
you know,
do
there's
that.
Way too many Americans here.
Yep. Google. And America is not the only country.
Fahrenheit, no, and our temperature system is dumb.
It is super dumb. So, it is -9.4 degrees Celsius in Tennessee. It is -8.8 degrees Celsius in Texas. And it is currently 21 degrees in Florida. So fuck you, Kat, in Celsius.
I'm sorry.
Fuck you in Fahrenheit. Fuck you in Celsius. I am cold. My dogs really like it, though. And I say my dogs, but actually by the time this airs, Sophie will have gone home. Yep.
Hey, you chose to move, man.
What? No. She's not our dog.
I know. I'm talking about you complaining about your temperature.
Yeah. I was like, what do you mean I'm moving?
Record,
like, no, what? Okay.
I choose to live in Texas because it doesn't do this. So.
Apparently it changed its mind.
Jeez Louise. It's really more like COVID. Texas was like, we should maybe follow some COVID guidelines. Here's some snow so you have to stay home.
All right, Kat. What had happened was
the sun rose. Okay, so it was after the explosion, because there was an explosion and then stuff went down, and this was after. Okay, so we found out that Doria was sick with dragon pox. Obviously not good. We found out that Remus's mom has sadly passed away, and he's very upset about this because his butt nugget of a dad wouldn't let him see his mom, so that was lovely. And he was all like, come at me, bro, I want to fight you. But Maya was like, nope, not gonna let you do that. And then she was having some, what do you want to talk about? Why are you doing that? Are you like having like a pregnancy like hot flash?
No, I'm sorry. You're doing what had happened was Annabeth is shoving a taco in her mouth and there's like lettuce all over her face.
Sorry, I should have turned my video off.
You're fine. I'm just like, I'm looking and I'm listening to you and there's just like this giant green thing hanging out of her mouth.
So you're not used to seeing me eat, is what you're telling me, because that's how I would eat a taco. But anyway,
I would like to point out that I'm eating this way because my corn tortilla is just crumbling in my hands because it's so cold.
All right, sorry, I'm not looking at Annabeth. I'm paying attention to you. So
okay, so then she's trying to calm Remus down because he's having like this whole like mad episode thing, obviously, and that's understandable. So she's like trying to like calm him the crap down. Yeah. And then her dad shows up and he kind of broke the news that like your mom's not really gonna make it and all this stuff and that she's in pain and all that jazz. And then Doria and Remus have this moment because he goes into her room and they start talking about his mom, and she said that she talked to his mom before she died, and
said that she wanted, his, Remus's mom wanted Doria to give him this amethyst because that's what his dad gave to her on their first date. So she talks about how the story of their first date and how they met and all that, which he already knew, but like decided to tell about it anyway. And then Doria made the point of telling Remus that he needs to take care of everybody and be strong and all that stuff. And then the other kids walk in, and actually, no, I lied. Before that, Sirius and Lily have a moment and they're bonding, and he thinks that's kind of weird, but she's like, no,
quick
I'm
pause.
Gonna be here.
I'm so excited that you caught that you skipped a section. Sorry, yeah. Continue.
Okay, so they had their little bonding moment, and he was kind of creeped out by it, I think, or not really creeped out, more like shocked that she wants to bond with him since she's not really like, whatever. But, so, she, Lily is trying to get Sirius to, like, open up to her and all that stuff, and they're trying to have like a little bonding moment and all of that. And then the kids walk into Doria's room and start hanging around with her, and she's trying to plan her funeral, but then everybody's like, do we have to do this now? And she's very set in her ways of what she wants and all of that stuff. And then towards the end, they're like, why can't you fight this? And she's like, do you really think that I'm not trying? Like, muggle please. And all of that jazz. And then, yeah.
That was spectacular. That was so
end
good.
Scene.
That was so good. Like, I don't have anything to add. I'm so proud
cool.
right now.
Yeah. See?
Look at you.
I know what's going on.
You do. And with that unbelievably well-detailed... Oh, I'm so proud of you. Excellent. What had happened was we were going to delve into the beginning of season 5. With chapter 69. Nice.
Nice.
That is not actually the name of the chapter. I just, chapter 69. Nice. I cannot see the number and not follow it with nice. Anyway, this actually starts.
It sounds dirty.
Nice. This does start with an author's note. Last chapter was a rough one. I know. I actually was stuck in about a 2-week writer's block because I knew what was going to happen and how, but the words just wouldn't come out. I ended up writing about 10 chapters after this storyline before I ever even sat down to complete it. I am, however, incredibly happy as a writer to see that something I've created has affected so many. Yeah, you know what? Last time I read it was the first time I read it without crying. So, like, and I've read it like 5 times. So... I think
I'm both annoyed and impressed by that, by the way.
Yeah.
Because no, same.
Yeah. And I think, and I know a lot of people are probably going to be disappointed that we didn't cry. And the reason is we get a week break between chapters. And obviously we're stacking episodes right now, so it's not a week between. But we're not reading it back to back to back to back to back. And we have that buffer of a few days to sort of... and prepare for what's coming next and, you know, kind of rebuild your emotional defenses from chapter to chapter, which helps you get through it. So obviously Doria's death is incredibly sad. It affects a lot of people, and technically she's not actually dead yet. But, you know, I think it wasn't that it wasn't an emotional chapter. It's just we have been able to spoil ourselves and give ourselves a buffer from chapter to chapter so that it doesn't all build up at once. Because let's face it, most of us sped through this if we weren't reading it when it was a work in progress and read it chapter to chapter to chapter to chapter and just devastated ourselves. So it's your own fucking fault that you cried. She said very heartlessly. But...
yeah, and to be fair, the... night before we recorded, you thought I would cry, I actually watched a sad movie, so I think my tear ducts were like, we did this last
she
night,
depleted.
We're not doing this again. Yeah, we're done.
Your eyes
well,
are...
and until y'all have read these chapters, I forgot exactly how Shia broke up this particular chunk of the story. For some reason, like, the first three paragraphs of this chapter, I thought were the closing of the last chapter. And then also that the beginning of, or the end of, this is 67.
Was the beginning
was
of
part
68.
Of the beginning of 68. Yeah, so I always thought that was all 68, and it isn't.
It's spread broken out over up three over three chapters.
Yeah, but I always binge this part of the book because I want to get through this stupid part. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with Daria being such a popular character, it is tough. And, you know, obviously she's, you know, one of my favorite characters, and she's absolutely the kind of mom I want to emulate. But, yeah. Without further ado, let's jump into chapter 69. Nice. Chapter 69, Safe Space. June 27th, 1977. Aw, in real life, we're like a day before my birthday, and in book life, we're 2 days before your birthday.
Are you talking to me? Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Is Annabeth born in June? I don't think so.
We just celebrated mine.
Yes. We literally just celebrated it. She's
sorry, I was mentally prepared to be quiet until I wanted to say something, so I was just, like, in the zone.
No. All
right. And I also had the thought that maybe we should call this episode nice, because you keep saying
that. Yeah, okay, that has to be the chapter. There's the episode title. Chapter 69.
I'm sick of coming up for him for us. Jesus. I can't do all the work, Claire.
I'm sorry, you're the one with the pithy comments, which is funny, because, like, in terms of percentage of talking, I do the majority of it. And yet, your fucking zingers are the names of every episode.
Because all she does is sit there and think of zingers to reply to for your reading.
That is true. All right. Safe Space. June 27th, 1977. Daria Potter stubbornly proved the healers wrong by lasting the night and the entire day that followed. She took her final breath just as the sun set against this London skyline, surrounded by her husband and a multitude of children she claimed as her own. The family was given a long while to sit in silence and say their goodbyes if they wanted, but eventually healers came in to speak with Charles about what would need to happen next. Sirius led everyone else up to the roof, parting with the last of the few cigarettes he had. They all took one, save for Lily, who claimed to have had her fill. Instead, she linked arms with Maya and Sirius. Remus stood on Maya's other side with his arm around her waist, a smoke in his free hand. To Sirius's left stood James, staring out at the lights of the city as he took a cigarette between his lips. Peter stood next to James, a hand on his friend's shoulder, the cigarette between his fingers slowly burning out. They all stared off silently into the distance. Slowly, Lily separated from the group, and Sirius and Maya immediately closed the gap that her absence created. Remus kissed Maya's temple and pulled away, flicking his cigarette over the edge of the building before quietly urging Peter away as well, to leave James, Sirius, and Maya, Doria's children, to grieve together in this one moment. While Peter left to use the loo, Remus followed Lily down the stairs, eventually finding his way back towards Doria's room. He turned the corner and saw Lily and Charles standing outside. Remus realized in that moment how much Charles looked like his own father the day before. But Charles Potter looked strangely calm, sad, and broken, but not angry or vengeful. He just looked lost.
Hey. I obviously don't know how this works, but why can't she just use the time turner and go back and save her mom from getting the dragon pox in the first place?
So this time turner, I don't think she has it yet. I think Dumbledore still does.
Oh.
And two, it's not a normal time turner. Normal time turners can only go back up to like 12, maybe 24 hours. This one hops years. It's a very weird one, and it's not something that Maya would feel comfortable playing with.
Okay, I didn't make that connection because I was like, in the movie, they just went back a couple hours. Why can't she just go back and save her mom? But never mind.
Yeah,
didn't it also break when she got to 1971?
No, I don't believe so.
It just wouldn't go forward.
It wouldn't do anything. And the sand was frozen. Well, the sand was frozen.
That sand was frozen. That's what it was.
And the other thing is that Remus told her in the letter that nothing she does will change anything that happens.
True.
And even reading the Harry Potter canon series, we know that James's parents are dead. Because obviously if they'd been alive, they would have taken Harry, not the Dursleys. But
true. Okay, never mind.
Yes. So Charles looks lost. Mr. Potter, is there anything I can do for you? Lily quietly asked. Charles looked down and smiled sadly at her, clearly grateful for the offer.
Thank you, Lily. But no. I'm just going to spend a little more time here to collect my thoughts and begin preparations. If you wouldn't mind seeing that my children make it home safely, though.
I'll do that. I called my parents earlier and told them what happened. I'll stay at the manor for a while and help you all where I can, even if it's just making sure Sirius doesn't snap and do something stupid. If it's all right with you, of course.
I would be very much indebted to you, Miss Evans.
Remus leant against the wall, watching Lily do what she did best, take care of people. As much as he prided himself on being a good prefect, he knew that Lily was leaps and bounds better than him. He performed his duties admirably, of course, but it was Lily who made sure that the first years were tucked away for the night at appropriate times, that none of the younger children were too homesick, that all the Muggleborns, not just Gryffindors, knew how to use the owlery, and other things that often confuse children who had not grown up in magical households. Remus took care of his friends and Maya. Lily took care of everyone. He wondered if it helped her, considering her own family had all but shut her out of their lives. Having heard about her sister's new husband, he assumed Lily might have been eager to stay at the manor, if only to avoid her own home. Fuck Vernon Dursley. Sorry.
What? Say his name again.
Oh.
You said Dudley.
I said Vernon Dursley.
Yeah, I was like,
Dudley or Dursley? That's not Dursley. Vernon Dursley. Harry calls himself Vernon Dudley at one point, doesn't he?
Yes, to the Snatchers in book 7.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. It's coming from somewhere. Also, he's doing somersaults. Oh, he's like, there's a lot of bumping. I'm so excited. It's fun. It's exciting. Sorry. Back to the story.
That's not what we say, Claire.
Oh, right. Sorry. Anyway, dead of time.
She's always going to mess up one every episode.
As I was saying, fuck Vernon Dursley. Apparently, her sister and new brother-in-law had chosen to forego the honeymoon due to financial matters. Both had guilted Lily and her parents into gifting them more money than any of them could afford in order to help secure a new house the couple had found over in Little Winging. Winging? Whinging? Winging. Whinging. Whinging. Whinging.
I don't know. In the movie, he says whinging.
True.
I think
yeah. So too.
It's whinging.
Whinging. All right. Yeah. Which we all know is number 4 Perfect Drive. If you'll allow it. Oh. Oh, what was that voice? Sorry.
Claire's coughing up a furball. Yeah.
If you'll allow it, I'd like to send Tilly to take care of you until you return home, Lily said.
That would be appreciated. Charles nodded, but then frowned. I imagine she'll have already been alerted to Doria's passing, and will be very determined to try and make herself busy.
Remus wondered if Tilly's magic had been connected to Doria. He felt a pull on his heart telling him to get to the manor now, and send Tilly to St. Mungo's to be with Charles. That way, neither of them would have to grieve alone. After leaving Charles to his grief, Lily smiled softly up at Remus as they met at the end of the hallway.
Ready? He asked her. She nodded. Let's get everyone home.
Once they were able to get James, Sirius, and Maya down from the roof, Lily ushered everyone through the flue, saying goodbye to Peter in the process, who had a sudden urge to go home and check on his own mother. It was something they all completely understood.
Right. The lot of you off to bed, Lily ordered the moment they stepped from the fireplace into the large circular drawing room of Potter Manor. It's been a long couple of days. I'll bring up some tea if anybody wants some. James ascended the staircase without speaking to anyone. "Fire whiskey's in the glass cabinet just there," Sirius said, weakly gesturing to Charles's recently refurbished stash of Ogden's finest. "I'll put some in your cup," Lily conceded, squeezing his shoulder gently. Maya watched as Sirius and Remus followed after James, leaving her alone in the drawing room with Lily. She wandered the room as though it were all new to her, some strange place she had never seen before. She ran her fingers over a soft green ribbon bookmark hanging out of a novel on the table next to the sofa. There was a silver serpent embroidered on the end, and Maya closed her eyes as she touched it. "Tilly?" Lily quietly called, drawing Maya's attention. Tilly appeared, looking worse for wear. Her large blue eyes were wet with tears, and in her hand she held a small handkerchief that she wiped her nose with.
"Miss Lily called for Tilly."
When the house elf noticed Lily, with her hand in the cabinet, her fingers wrapped around the bottle of fire whiskey, Tilly snapped her fingers, causing the tray to appear out of thin air, with several cups on it. She gestured to one in the middle of the tray that appeared darker than the others.
"Tilly makes tea. Fire whiskey already in young Master Sirius's cup."
"Thank you, Tilly," Lily smiled sweetly at the little elf. "Mr. Potter would be very pleased if you'd go to St. Mungo's and attend to him for a while. I promise I'll take good care of everyone else while you're away. I'll call for you if we need anything." Tilly looked uneasy. Her gaze shifted to Maya, who had finally put the book down and walked over.
"Tilly will leave if..."
she began to say, but she hesitated for a long moment before finally speaking clearly, fixing her eyes on Maya.
"If Mistress needs her to."
"What?" Maya paled at the word, a vision of creature in the future calling her mistress, as though he had no control over it when the word left his lips. She stared down at the house elf, who fixed her meals, sewn her clothes, and brushed her hair for the past 6 years.
"Does Mistress want Tilly to go to St. Mungo's?"
A strange new magic pricked inside of her, and Maya tried desperately to fight it. "Tilly, I'm not your..." "Maya, you have to," Lily pleaded with her. Clenching her eyes shut tightly, Maya shook her head. It was one thing to allow a house elf to take care of her, especially since Tilly was so stubborn and manipulative, but to have one bonded to her, passed down to her from mother to daughter, simply because that was the way things worked, it was horrifying. She had spent so much effort defining the part of her character integrity by the fact that she would never willingly enslave another creature. However, the look in Tilly's eyes was not just grief, it was fear. Tilly was afraid of being cast out or given away to another family, possibly given back to the Black family, well, Berga, even, and Maya could not allow that. "Yes, Tilly," she reluctantly nodded, swallowing back the bile in her throat. "Mistress insists that you please go and take care of my father." She frowned when Tilly let out a loud sigh of relief.
"Tilly does as Mistress wishes."
Tilly bowed her head respectfully to Maya, then vanished with a soft pop. "It's going to be okay, Maya," Lily whispered. "No, it's not," Maya shook her head, feeling dirty and disgusted with herself. "I own a house elf now. The world is fucking upside down." She reached for the silver tray and picked up Sirius's cup of tea purposely, draining it and letting the warm fire whiskey in it sear the wound she felt she had created. "It'll eventually right itself. Not without worse things happening," Maya sighed, thinking of the next few years and how awful things were about to get. "Thank you, Lily, for taking care of my family." She looked into her friend's eyes and momentarily got lost in them. So green, just like Harry's. "I'm Merlin. I'm so tired. I'm going to go to bed." "I'll walk with you." Lily reached for the fire whiskey in the glass cabinet and refilled the empty cup with it. She levitated the tray behind her as she followed Maya up the stairs, down the long corridor, and through the double doors at the end into Maya's room. When they walked through the doors, Maya heard Lily let out a tiny gasp at the sight in front of them. Three grown wizards had crawled into Maya's overly large four-poster bed,
each of them already claimed by sleep. Lily's focus turned to Maya, who was not surprised at all by the scene as she moved forward, crawling into the space between James and Remus, knowing that they purposely left it for her. She leaned back against Remus's chest, his arm instinctively wrapped around her waist. James's body moved as well, resting his head against her shoulder, just as Sirius's mop of black hair adjusted on the bed, eventually resting on her lap. Maya let out a soft sigh as she placed her hand on top of Sirius's head, letting her fingers loosely run through his hair. Lily blinked curiously as she watched the scene, likely realizing that this was not new or unusual. They were all content in the exact space they occupied next to, between, and on top of each other, almost in the way that animals curled up with one another for warmth, protection, and comfort.
Hold on. I don't have any fucking tissues down here.
Are you close to the bathroom? Where you get toilet paper?
No, I'm okay. It's just, we usually don't go this long without saying anything, but it's kind of a heavy chance.
It's so serious.
It's so serious. It's serious like black.
It's serious like black.
Maya watched Lily place the silver tea tray on a table next to the bed, retrieving her wand from her robes and casting a stasis charm over it. She walked to the opposite side of the bed, pulled the black frames delicately from James's face, and set them next to the tea tray before turning to a large chaise lounge in the corner where she decided to sleep. Maya closed her eyes eventually, letting dreams and memories take her. I heard you start it before I started it. I was like, I was about to make that noise, but I hear that noise, and then I just see you in the background.
Sorry, this is really deep. I had to do something. Like, this is hurting my soul.
Now you understand why people, like, sob uncontrollably during this. Oh my god, does that mean the people who listen to these episodes back to back to back are gonna cry? Oh, I'm so sorry, my sweet little fire whisker lammies. I love you.
We'll put a post on the Facebook page where you can donate your tears to Shia for her everlasting life.
Yeah.
And beauty.
Yeah, no kidding. I have more crow's feet than she does. And the reason she has less crow's feet is because she just applies the tears of her readers to her face every night and it gets rid of her wrinkles. It's not fair. I look more wrinkled because of the amount of tears that I have shed in, you know, tribute to Shia. And not just from this story, but from literally all of them. You monster. I love you. And I know you're cackling and very happy right now, you sick fuck.
Man, she's just like kicking butt at life, isn't she? She gets tears, applies it to her face, lives forever, and has beauty, contributes to people's procreating. Like, she's just like...
She's repopulating the earth with, like, yeah. Baby fire whiskers. It's fine. Dead of time army.
Yeah. All hail the queen.
Preach it. And she's just like, yes.
What the fuck was that? Cat went. I was drinking, so I almost had water out of my nose.
Are you gonna or am I gonna?
Oh, I thought I was waiting for you to read your text message first. I was gonna wait until you're done. Oh, okay.
That's the visual.
Oh my god. You've got to read. We're 50 minutes into recording. Now it sounds like you're gargling.
The good news is we're like halfway through the chapter.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Fox.
Hermione collapsed in the... Oh, wait, no. I can't say that happily. This isn't happy. Why am I so out of focus? Focus on me. I don't know what's going on. It's still blurry. Whatever. Stupid fancy computer or camera. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, you see the windows. Or lack of windows. All right, well, anyway, I'll just stay blurry.
Hermione collapsed in the entrance hall of Grimmauld Place, holding her stomach and trying to focus so she would not throw up. She hated traveling by portkey, and international portkeys were just awful. Her mess of wild brown curls had held a little more frizz than usual, and her eyes were sore. The moment she realized she was not going to vomit, she burst into tears. The noise roused everyone inside the house. Soon she was descended upon by wizards on every side, but it was Remus who pulled her into his arms and let her sob against his chest as he carried her up the staircase, moving toward her room. He placed her on her bed, sitting back against the wall and pulling her close to him in a hug, a large arm wrapped protectively around her.
"What happened?" he asked. "Were you able to see them?"
"They'll never know me again," Hermione sobbed. I went all that way to Australia. I knew they wouldn't remember me, but seeing them, Remus, my parents are. I might as well be dead."
"In a way, you're right, and I'm so sorry for that."
Hermione looked up, spotting Sirius, Harry, and Ron standing in the doorway. Why are you making that face? Is it because I sounded really good crying? Because I thought I sounded really good crying.
She just figured out what's happening.
Oh, come on. I thought it was my voice acting skills. Tell me you're getting fucking emotional over this one. I'll beat your ass.
Through the screen? I'd like to see you try.
Hermione looked up, spotting Sirius, Harry, and Ron standing in the doorway. The two younger wizards looked worried and uncomfortable at the sight of her sobbing. Sirius, however, stepped forward quickly, pulling her from Remus's arms and holding her against him, letting her cry on his shoulder. Being between the two had somehow taken the emptiness of her grief and filled it with something that made her feel safe. Heartbroken, but safe.
"It's okay if you need to grieve, kitten."
Sirius stroked his fingers up and down her back consolingly, kissing the side of her head.
"You don't always have to be the strong one."
She nodded and looked up as she felt Remus leave the bed, moving towards the door, where he put a hand on Harry's shoulder and shoved him forward a bit. As brown eyes met bright green, Hermione cried out and Harry flew forward. He hugged her and sighed, likely grateful he could provide her with something, considering that she knew he blamed himself for the fact that she'd had to obliviate her parents in the first place. She clung tightly to Harry like he was her lifeline, not knowing how to deal with the fact that Ron lingered in the doorway, looking awkward, as though he was intruding on a private moment. "Watch her, Ron!" Tonks appeared beside him. She peeked into the room and looked at her husband with concern, silently asking what happened.
"Hermione saw her parents," Remus said.
Tonks sighed, looking at Hermione with sympathy. No one walked out of the war without losing someone, it seemed. Hermione knew that Tonks had lost her own father, so she was aware at least a little bit of what Hermione was going through. "It's good she has you, Lot. Take care of her, yeah?" Tonks gave her husband a pointed look, just as he shook his head to argue. "Don't you dare. All three of you," she nodded, gesturing to Sirius, Remus, and Harry, "have lost your own parents. You know what it's like, and what she needs. So, do it, and don't question me."
"What am I supposed to do?" Ron asked awkwardly,
watching as Hermione clung to Harry while Sirius rubbed her back as she cried. "You? Go home and visit your mum and dad." Ron nodded in understanding. He cast a look back at Hermione once more, offering her a smile that she returned. Once he was gone, Tonks looked up at Remus sadly and smiled.
"There. Just family now. Just pack."
Maya opened her eyes in the middle of the night, feeling Remus's hot breath on her neck. She tilted her head to look at him, wondering if he was holding her so protectively to help her grieve through Doria's death, or because he needed someone to hold as he grieved for his own mother. She frowned down at Sirius, his head still in her lap, and ran her hands briefly through his hair, worried if he would wake any second and potentially fall off the deep end after losing the only mother who had ever shown him affection. The grief felt familiar, and yet different at the same time. She had lost her biological parents to oblivion years ago, and though it was not to death,
It was just as unchangeable. This felt worse. Daria had been her mother in every way but blood, and it was painful to think about waking up in the morning and not seeing her there, picking grapes and blueberries out of her usual bowl of fruit. As the pain in her chest deepened, Maya pried herself from Remus and Sirius and reached out for James, clinging to him tightly, snuggling her face into the mess of black hair. A small part of her wished he was Harry, wished Harry was here, because then maybe the family wouldn't feel so broken with the sudden missing piece. She looked across the room where she spotted Lily sleeping soundly in a large chair. Maya smiled as she remembered something Tonks had said long ago. Just family now. Just pack. Nothing?
Cool.
Okay, so think about it. In the flashback, the people who are left behind when it's just pack, it's Remus, obviously, Tonks, obviously, Sirius, obviously, Harry, and Hermione. Tonks recognizes both of them as pack.
So?
Maya's pack. Hermione Granger, at 18, was not aware. But Tonks calls her pack anyway.
Right on.
She'll understand later, folks.
I don't.
It's fine. I'm trying. I'm just planting seeds so that when you come back and listen to this series.
I get that we had that whole, like, pack conversation and everything, but, like, that was only about how it was sealed. So I feel like I don't know something that would help me figure that out, or I'm just dumb, but.
Well, it's just the fact that they're recognizing her as pack before chronologically she is. She hasn't gone back in time yet. She hasn't joined the pack yet when she's Hermione.
Wait, what?
Hermione doesn't go back in time until her 19th birthday, right?
Right.
At this point, she's only 18. She hasn't gone back in time yet. She hasn't met baby Remus. She hasn't fought with Remus and Sirius and Jamie in the Forbidden Forest against Greyback. She's technically not pack yet. She doesn't have the pack bond. So.
But it's after she's already brought Sirius back, so the soul bound is initiated.
Mm-hmm. And yet Tonks still calls her pack.
My head hurts.
we'll leave it at that then. It'll make more sense.
Wait. Oh, okay. So Tonks recognizes Hermione as pack when she's 18 and she hasn't met baby everybody else yet, but it was after whatever Hannah Beth said.
So it's after Sirius has been killed by Bellatrix and has come back from the Veil. So, it's after the life debt ritual. That is the very first chapter. How did
that
happen?
That is the question, isn't it?
Because she didn't bring him. I hate this.
Time is a circle. Everything happens simultaneously.
That really, I feel like I'm doing a math problem right now. That hurts my head.
Welcome to the dead of time. You must be new. No, I'm kidding. It's literally like this. I spent half of my time reading this book going, hang on a minute. So, I'm just excited. I planted some seeds. We'll see if they'll come to fruition. They will definitely come to fruition later. But yes, I'm excited for you to go back and listen to this entire series after we finish it. And then you're going to go, God damn it, I know the answer. And it'll be great.
Yeah, well, I thought I knew the answer because after we read the one with the dark mark being over the hospital and I went to bed that night, I like woke up at 3:30 and I was like, wait, it's Voldemort. And then Claire's like, no, it's not.
Oh, actually, yeah. Can we delve into this for like 2 seconds? She thought the reason the dark mark appeared above the hospital is because Voldemort had been born, kind of like the Christmas star over baby Jesus. I was like, his followers already exist.
He went to Hogwarts like 20 years before they get there. No. And she was like, wait. And I was like, it just, that's what they throw up when they kill somebody. It's just like, we were here, we fucked shit up. That's what it means. And she was like, that makes more sense. And
yes, and then later.
We fucked shit up.
The Christmas star and baby Jesus killed me. I was just like.
Yeah, and then later on, Audrey explained to me that Voldemort and Hagrid went to school together. Yes. And I was like, oh, okay, Voldemort never mind then.
Voldemort was a prefect the year that Hagrid got expelled, his third year.
Bingo.
So Voldemort was either fifth, sixth, or seventh year.
What always cracked.
I think he was a sixth year, right?
Yeah. What always cracked me up about Voldy is he was so obsessed with becoming immortal, but he ended up dying at like 68 or
72,
71, somewhere around there.
Google it.
Yeah, you're going to Google it. But wizards normally, without magical intervention, just live longer anyway. I mean, Dumbledore lived to be like 150. And so technically, if Voldemort hadn't
That's also inaccurate. Voldemort was 71 years, 5 months, and 2 days, according to the Google.
Okay, how old was Albus when he died? He was over 100.
Around, well, okay. It says around 150, but the first line was, however, Rowling has been known to rework the math of the Potterverse. So originally he said he was around 150 when he died. We know from Pottermore that he was actually around 115.
Okay, because
so who knows?
He was a young teacher, Jude Law aged, in the 30s.
Correct.
So, and he died in 98. So, I mean, if you assume he was... Yeah, okay.
He died in 97.
He died in
97. Just as a side note. Because Voldemort died in 98.
True. Okay, so he died in 97. So, like, if we think he was maybe, like, 40 when he started, or when he was teaching?
I think 115 is the better option.
Yeah, 115. Personally. But still, he was over 100 and clearly older than Muggles live. So if Voldemort hadn't been so fucking obsessed with goddamn Horcruxes, he probably would have lived to be over 100 anyway. But no, he tried to extend his life and ended up dying at a Muggle age. Anyway, the dead of time.
Younger than the average Muggle age, too. Anyway.
Dead of time. Kat, you good?
Sorry, I had to Google Tonks, but I'll do that later. Because I think I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure it out, guys.
Figure what out?
She's trying to figure it out, but she's not going to because she's Googling it using Harry Potter canon and it's Dead of Time canon. And anyway.
Hey, you don't know that. I could figure it out.
You could.
I watched Blue's Clues as a kid.
Back to the episode.
I know it was Colonel Mustard in the room with the candlestick. I know things.
That Blue's Clues cool. just gets emails now. He doesn't get mail in the mailbox. But
it's mail time.
On the computer. They don't get mail from the mailbox, which is the cutest part. Come on.
I liked the mailbox coming in through the window like a creeper.
Nobody cares about this. Okay.
To be fair, the guy that was the original dude with him got in trouble for being a creeper.
No,
so
that makes
like
me so sad.
Yeah, this was like years ago. Like I think he went to jail for like child something or other.
What a monster. Fuck him.
There's like lots of rumors that Steve died. Like he's been in interviews where people asked him about like, is it weird that like the running rumor is that you died? And he's like, meh.
Yeah. I did. I am now a demon inhabiting his body. Ha ha.
I liked Allegra's window. That was a good one.
The fuck?
Really? You don't know Allegra's window?
Never heard of
no?
it.
Oh, you should Google that. It was a good show. It was a cute kid show.
Okay.
Anyway, the dead of time.
Random pop culture things we've read.
Sorry.
What'd you call it? Allegra's window?
Yeah.
Oh, Allegra's window. Yes. Yeah. Okay, because that one kind of reminded me, like, that one went along hand in hand with so-and-so in the big comfy couch.
Oh.
Yeah, because they were on, like, right after the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Wasn't Out of the Box on after Big Comfy Couch?
I don't know. Out of the Box was Disney, and that was with Bear in the Big Blue House.
There we go. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, my God. I need to find all of the... Okay, so Disney Plus needs to bring back Out of the Box and Bear in the Big Blue House because I loved the mouse. It might be on there. I liked the mice and the otters, the little purple otters.
You know what was the weirdest show? The Bananas in Pajamas. Like, what the crap was that?
Anyway, the date of time. July 31st, 1977. Daria's funeral had been one of celebration. Charles insisted she would be incredibly cross if she knew they were mourning her passing rather than shouting her accomplishments. Somehow, after the funeral, things began to go back to normal. The lingering sadness in the air lessened day by day. Lily stayed at the manor for a few weeks to help before she felt she needed to return home. She had not been there for more than 2 days before Petunia's new husband was informed about having a witch in the family, and he proceeded to burst at the seams with disgust. Lily's parents had uncomfortably suggested that perhaps it was time for Petunia and Vernon to leave, but Lily insisted that she would depart Cokeworth, opting for Potter Manor, of all places, to find refuge away from her torn family. Everyone fell into a comfortable routine leading up to the second full moon in July. Charles and James spent a lot of their time dealing with official things at Gringotts, where Father began teaching Son the family trusts and holdings. They set up an individual account for Maya, put money aside for Sirius, despite his refusal, and James was also given access to the vault the Potters had previously set up in Remus's name, to which they secretly continued adding an allowance without telling him. Knowing Remus's pride, James promised Maya that he would not overflow it with galleons, but instead add just enough to ensure that Remus got through school with everything, without everything he owned being hand-me-downs. Sirius spent most of his time restoring the motorbike he wrecked, usually denying the help offered by James, Remus, and Peter. Instead, he opted either for time alone or conversation with Lily, and he happily absorbed her knowledge of the Muggle world while he tried, and failed, to introduce her to the pleasures of good fire whiskey and motorbikes. She did, however, admit a slight preference for his musical tastes, and the two would often spend late afternoons debating over the best Muggle and wizarding bands. Maya spent her days and nights taking care of Remus. In addition to the second full moon that month, Remus had been denied entry to his own mother's funeral. Not only that, but Lyle Lupin had placed specific wards around the family plot, preventing the entrance of any creature, dark or otherwise. Remus had politely accepted the fact that he could not be there for his mother's burial, but days later, when he attempted to visit her grave, he had been violently thrown 20 feet from the site, breaking his arm upon landing. It required a return trip to St. Mungo's much sooner than anyone at Potter Manor would have liked. Pitter-patter.
I want to stab his dad.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn my wand into a shiv and stab him.
Why are you whittling the end of a wand? Dual purpose. Swish, swish, stab, stab.
Yeah, and it's also not my wand, so what do I care?
But also dual purpose.
Double entendres on double entendres. Maya requested that Tilly tend to both Charles and Remus as often as possible, knowing they were presently suffering the most of everyone, both emotionally and, in Remus's case, physically. That allowed her and Lily access to the kitchen, where they enjoyed preparing breakfast for everyone. Lily said it was the least she could do to contribute to the family, seeing as they had taken her in without thought or question. Maya and James met in the kitchen the morning following the full moon, having both thought to bring some food out to Remus to give him a little boost of energy for the walk back to his room. While Maya was digging through the various meats they had in the cooling cabinet, she heard a loud squeak from behind the door. Peeking, she smirked at the sight of Lily and James, stuck in the doorway, trying awkwardly to maneuver around one another. "Sorry, I didn't think anyone was up yet."
"Yeah,"
James yawned, pinning himself against the doorframe to allow her through.
God damn it.
All I had to say was yawn.
You did yawn talk, too, just as a side note.
Yeah, but I didn't actually yawn. I fake yawned, and I still made you yawn.
And the Emmy goes, too.
I know. I've cried. I fake yawned. I am doing so well. I want an Oscar now.
Okay, Meryl Streep.
Thanks. I'll add it to the collection.
Okay, just go ask Alexa what Lin-Manuel Miranda's number is and we'll be Gucci. Sorry, I saw a video of this little kid and his mom was like, every day he asked Alexa what Lin-Manuel Miranda's number is and Alexa's just like, I'm sorry, I don't know what that is.
That's terrible. Sirius and Remus are still sleeping. Lily raised a brow. Where? What? James blinked, bleary-eyed. Where are they sleeping? I checked Maya's room this morning, and no one had slept in it, and I know the four of you are staying in there. He looked defensive, as though he were waiting for her to attack him or make fun of him for sharing a bed with his sister and friends. We need to enlarge her bed before tonight, he finally said. It's too small for the four of us. Or maybe you're too big to be sleeping in a bed with your sister and best friends, Lily innocently teased. Done it since we were 11, James shrugged his shoulders and turned away from her toward a counter where he began preparing a tray filled with four cups and a small collection of potion phials. Maya paid attention to her brother, making sure that he did not accidentally put Remus's potions in any of the other cups. When he emptied the phial, she returned her attention to Lily, who had yet to see her. Lily also did not notice when James pulled out an extra cup and began pouring tea into it along with the others.
It was always to take care of her, though, James explained. Never thought Maya's bed would just become...
A safe space for all of you? James nodded thoughtfully, and then looked down at the extra teacup, taking it in his hands and holding it out for her.
Oh, here.
Is this for me? Lily carefully examined the drink, as though he had slipped something awful into it or charmed the cup to turn her hands blue.
Sorry, James frowned as she inspected the liquid. Do you not take lemon in your morning tea anymore?
He asked, as if recording the moment in his memory was of great importance. He used the same tone of voice when verifying details in preparation for school exams. You know how I take my tea?
Maya wondered why Lily was surprised. They had sat at the same breakfast table for 6 years now.
Eventually, James was bound to notice how she took her tea, especially considering how often he stared at her.
Yeah, you like it really hot, though sometimes you don't touch it until it's room temperature.
Lily blinked, eyes suddenly wide.
And you take it with one slice of lemon and two sugars, but if you're reading a book at breakfast, sometimes you forget to stir it and the sugar just sits at the bottom.
James smiled wistfully, his eyes suddenly lighting up all over. Something silly as tea.
You still drink it, though. Then when you get to the bottom and it's all sweet, you make this really cute face, and...
He stopped. As he clearly realized, he'd been speaking out loud. Mildly embarrassed over his words, he cleared his throat.
Yeah. Sorry. Not supposed to harass you anymore, and that came off a bit... stalker.
Aw, he loves her. And now she's like, he's not as creepy as I thought he was.
I mean, he is. He, you know, basically memorized how she takes her tea, but...
It's really...
Yeah, but it's cute.
It's really that he's less prattish than she thought he was.
Less arrogant.
Yeah.
Is
well,
my
his
bit.
Head is deflated a little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Humility. Good dose.
Yeah, but it's also nice when they take notice of the little things. Like, you know I like barbecue sauce with my nuggets? Yay!
Mm-hmm. It was like the one time Jimmy was taking me to Wendy's and I fell asleep on the way there. And I woke up on the way home and I was like, did we go to Wendy's? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, what'd you get me?
And he goes, a 4 for $4 with a cheeseburger and nuggets. And I'm like, bacon cheeseburger and spicy nuggets? And he goes, no, regular cheeseburger, regular nuggets. And I was like, oh,
You do know me. Because for the longest time, you got me bacon cheeseburgers, and I'm like, I don't want bacon. I usually like bacon, but not in my Wendy's cheeseburgers. I know. I'm a monster. It's fine.
It's okay. I only started liking bacon, not by my eggs, like a couple years ago. So I'm late to the party.
Hannah Beth is just staring me down for not wanting bacon
just
on a burger.
I want to know why you would ever not want bacon on a burger. Like,
it's too much. Because the 4 for 4, it's a lot of food. It's like 1,000 calories, which I looked up and was very freaked out.
I also don't really eat like fast food burgers anywhere. So.
Yeah. But sometimes I just really crave a McDouble.
See, like, I wouldn't trust the fast food bacon. I would be more inclined to get bacon at, like, a place where it's actually bacon and not some kind of, like, mystery.
Except for a Whataburger, because Whataburger bacon cheeseburgers are awesome.
Fair. I don't know what that is.
It's a Texas thing.
Irish pubs that have, like, the thick cut bacon, best bacon to have on a burger. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. Some avocado. Anyway. Ooh,
do me dirty.
And anyway. A fried egg. Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh. Sorry.
Now I'm turned on.
By bacon.
And a runny egg and avocado on a burger. It's delicious. The egg becomes the condiment. It's delicious. It holds it. Oh my God. I miss dippy eggs. I want them. I actually still eat them.
Why can't you have dippy eggs?
Huh?
You can't eat eggs when you're pregnant.
You're not supposed to eat them undercooked, but I still do. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. But
wow, how am I going to live? I'm not going to be able to eat anything.
Oh, also, fun fact, modern guidance that because the deli meat thing hasn't been updated since like the 60s when Listeria actually was a fairly large issue in deli meat. Deli meat is no longer considered as dangerous. And if you talk to somebody who actually knows something about nutrition, they'll say deli meat's fine. The biggest issue and the biggest danger to pregnant women is romaine lettuce.
I was going to say, it's romaine lettuce, right? Or spinach.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the E. coli in both of those.
Yeah.
Or salmonella in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
E. coli.
I'm not going to be able to eat a day.
They just tell you, to wash it really well.
You just wash it. I wash all my lettuce. And then what you do, you take the lettuce, you cut off the bottom when you're getting romaine, you wash it all together, and then you put it in a dish towel and you wrap it. You don't dry it off. Yep. You keep it wet. And then it keeps it crispy.
Yep, I do that because your mom taught me that.
I get so happy now because Jimmy's like, I bought lettuce. Do the magic thing. And I'm like, okay. Okay, we're almost at the end of this chapter. We're going to finish
this. Yeah, which is why I was always jealous of Claire's mom growing up because she taught her things and mine was just like, here, go play. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Claire's mom does this. Abby's mom does that. What can you do?
And your mom's like, I photographed every soccer player in this city for 25 years. That's what I did.
Yeah, but that doesn't help me in any way.
Did she teach like, you photography? Like, that's when it'd be helpful.
Heck no. I have to pick up stuff on the street.
But she let you hang out with me, who has taught you many of these things, and that's, like, almost as good.
I mean, my husband didn't know hardly anything when we started dating either, so.
That's fair.
I can do laundry.
Jimmy convinced me to stop using
He could do hats. Laundry. I will say, like, I never had to teach him laundry. He could always do laundry, so.
We have separate laundry baskets because I don't let him touch my delicates. Because he's just like, I put everything on warm water and then, you know, dry it on medium. And I'm like, do you want to shrink all of my sweaters? I will kill you. Your face right now. But anyway, to be fair.
Hard pass.
To be fair, he's only washing t-shirts and jeans. So, like, it doesn't matter. Good. So James has apologized for being a stalker and memorizing how she drinks her tea. Lily stood there, her eyes still wide. Hesitantly, she took a sip. It's adequate. She hid a smile when James beamed at her words. It would be better at room temperature, though. I'm sure you've got the patience for it. He grinned at her and levitated the tray behind him. Bringing that to the others? James answered her with a quick nod. Do you need help? He shook his head. Sorry. No offense, Lily. It's just that we've been taking care of Remus for years now, and it's
It's hard to explain. One day we will, but not the day after the full moon. Especially not this moon.
Potter,
Lily called after him.
He turned.
Yeah?
Thank you, she offered a timid smile. For the tea.
You're welcome, Lily.
James gave her a crooked grin before leaving the kitchen, silver tray following behind him. Lily let out a wistful sigh as he vanished from sight.
Maybe a cooling charm would help, Maya said, slamming the cooling cabinet door shut. Lily jumped a foot in the air, tossing her tea and cup forward as she shrieked, Jesus Christ!
Laughing, Maya flicked her wand to prevent the cup from hitting the floor, moving it to catch as much of the liquid as possible before floating it back towards Lily, who was glaring at her.
Tea? I hear you're very specific about it. Maybe I should get Jamie to make you another.
Grabbing the cup harshly, causing the content to spill over the sides a bit, Lily narrowed her eyes and pointed a finger at Maya.
You are just as bad as the rest of them.
Maya grinned. And yet you love us.
I love you, Lily clarified. I tolerate your brother, at best. Methinks the lady doth shut it.
You love him.
She loves him. She wants to hold him. She wants to marry him and have his babies and name them Harry. And
sorry. Okay, we know it happens. But anyway, that is the end of chapter 69. Nice.
Yep, that is the title. Nice.
Oh, see, I had to throw it in at the end just to confirm the fact that we are naming this episode Nice.
Nice.
Also, you guys can't see it because you're only listening to this, but every time I do this, I like duck my head and get closer to the microphone so you can probably hear that. But I like put my chin on my hand and I'm like, nice. And it's cute. And you can't see it, but it's a thing and it's happening. And I called it cute, which is weird to call something that you do cute, but fuck it. God damn it. I'm adorable and I know it. And that's the end of the chapter.
And what else is new? I still don't get it.
You don't, but next episode is so much fucking fun. So I did read ahead for this one because we have a special guest joining us next week on the podcast. It is our first time having a guest join us. They are actually with another Potter podcast that we connected with through Twitter. It is very exciting. And we are looking forward to recording with somebody new and bringing a voice that hopefully some of you have heard before to the show. Yee! And we did pick a chapter that was specifically fun and not raunchy because we don't want to scare away our guests because that would be bad.
However, if this goes well, this guest should read me a dirty chapter because I think that would be fun.
They do have a solid voice for reading. But
you know who I would love to read me a dirty chapter, but this is never going to happen? Like, ever? Keith Morrison from Dateline. Like, I would die.
I was torn between James Earl Jones and Gilbert Gottfried,
but no, not Gilbert Gottfried.
Fifty Shades of Grey. No. Oh, write that down. 50 Shades of Grey. Gilbert Gottfried.
That's what I was about to just say.
Write that one down. Well, no, because
and Remus stuck his hand up her skirt. Like, no one wants to hear that.
Oh my god, that
makes
so
bad. Nobody wants to hear that.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my fucking god. That was such a good impression of Gilbert Gottfried.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Also, this
I
want to
hear you doing impressions of him more. That was hilarious.
That was fucking amazing.
Thank the people.
But I now digress. Without further ado, we're going to thank the people.
We'd like to thank our foxes, Tyler, Laura, Becky, Jackie, Rachel, Becky, Camille, Carissa, Muggle Trucker, Leanne, Rebecca, Michelle, Sandra, Amber, Ryder, Cassie, Olivia, Ash, Ryland, Crystal, Heather, Amanda, Ashley, Connie, Emma, Sarah, Chelsea, Amara, Audrey. I'd like to thank Nevi, Jillian, Shelby, Roshan, Claire, Paige, Melissa, Lynn, Shannon, Martina, Hannah, Sarah, Tori, Kenny, Amanda, Dan, Samantha, Miriam, Kara, Jade, Laura, Michelle, Kara, and Jenny. Thank you so much, foxes. And thank you again to all of our foxes. We appreciate having you join us this week. Thank you again for your support. We are so happy to have you. We hope you guys enjoyed the Q&A that we posted from season 4. We are very excited to have all of this bonus content out for you guys. Again, we're going to try and continue producing more of that as we move on through season 5. And we have more time to do so because we're recording ahead. And the reason we are recording ahead, in case you forgot, is because this season ends with chapter 85, Invigoration, and god damn it, I wanted to record it before I had a baby. So, we are working our asses off purely so that I can read the fanfiction.net and the AO3 versions of chapter 85, Invigoration, for your listening pleasure prior to a screaming infant arriving in my house. And also to give us a buffer so that hopefully that screaming infant perhaps will scream less so that we can start recording again after he arrives. But we're excited to be back here with season 5. And Kat, we will see you next.
Fire Whiskey Friday.
And I'll be 30.
Whatcha?
Whatcha?
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fire, Whiskey, and Honey.
A special thank you to Shyalani for allowing us to read your story.
And thank you to Blue Ivy Creations for creating our logo and Hannah Beth for editing our episodes.
You can find us on Instagram at FWHpod.
And on Twitter at FWHpodcast.
And on our website, FWHpod.com.
If you enjoy this podcast and would like to support and get extra content, please support us on Patreon and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you to those who support us already. We wouldn't be here without you.
See you next Fire Whiskey Friday.